Thus saith the Lord. It's going to be a three-part series on Bethany was different. Bethany was different. And today we're going to talk about that location. Lord Jesus, I know I've heard from you. The challenges, oh God, always is trying to deliver what's in our spirit, which you have given to us. But I believe you, oh God, your word and the gospel wants to go forward in our hearts today. Revelation, I pray, oh God, I believe wants to be released, God, and you want to bring your people to new places of sincere worship unto you, God. I believe our walk with you is supposed to be progressive. Give us that understanding, oh God, that our walk with you is supposed to be growing from faith to faith, oh God. Do not allow us, oh God, to be in the same place as we were last week, last year, God. Let us have a desire to grow and see you manifest yourself among us. And give us greater understanding of your purpose for our lives and the word in our hearts, God, to see your kingdom come, to see your will be done. In the name of Jesus, change us, challenge us, convict us. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Is it okay if Pastor takes his time this morning? You may be seated. Today I'm going to talk to you about the location. We'll continue to build upon it. Bethany was a town that was once very insignificant and then became a place of huge significance. The reason why is after what took place and what we are going to talk about, the nation of Israel was never going to be the same again. I already feel that so strongly right now. There comes moments and times when God shows up and said, this is a pivotal mark, a pivotal landmark where you have to say in your spirit, I can never be the same again. There has to be something that we make ourselves so conscious of that when Jesus gets a hold of my heart and when Jesus gets a hold of my mind, I can never be the same again. This place was a place where Jesus was no longer going to be in hiding. He was no longer going to shy away from the power that he was capable of displaying. You see, many places in the Word of God, especially early in his ministry, you would see him do a wonderful, great miracle. And then following that miracle, he would talk to the one that received that miracle. And he would say, don't tell anybody. Don't make too much fuss about what I has just done in your life. I want you to keep quiet. I want you to keep silent on what just happened in your life. And it seems to me as I read over and over these areas that he was giving an impression that he did not want too many people to hear about how awesome he was able to move and how he was able to do impossible things. For example, he cleansed somebody who was a leper. Now, most times in the Word of God, if you found yourself as a leprous person, you might as well just go up and give up complete hope because there was no cure for the disease that you had. But Jesus came to a man and he sent him away. He said, go show yourself to a priest for the cleansing as Moses commanded you. And the Lord healed that person. And he said, don't go and tell anybody about it. But he could not keep quiet, because when God has really done something in your life, it is hard to keep quiet about what God is doing. And then he healed two blind men and he straightly charged them, saying, see that you tell no man. And then he raised a little girl who was 12 years old, but he only called Peter, James, and John into that room, and he spoke to that little girl. He said, I want you to arise. And she got up, praise God, and she was brought up from the dead. And the Bible tells us that no man should know it. He just said, give her something to eat, because most thought that she was just asleep. In Tyre and Sidon, Jesus went and he separated himself, and the Bible says in Mark 7:24, and would have no man know it. But the problem was, he could not be hid, because someone that loves so much and someone who has so much compassion, who's able to touch a leper, who's able to raise somebody up from the dead, it's hard to keep that quiet. He healed a man who was deaf and had an impediment speech upon him. And the Bible says that he touched him and the string of his tongue was loose and he spoke plainly. And he charged him that he would tell no man. But he charged, the more he charged them, the more they published it. Oh, I pray that in our church, as God begins to move inside of us, there are going to be men and women that says, Jesus touched my life and I cannot keep it silent. Jesus has changed me, and I must tell somebody about it. And there are so many more instances where Jesus heals and tells them, I don't want to be found. Don't tell anybody about it, because this is the reason why Jesus was on a mission. He was on a mission to the cross, but there was a limited time period that he had to fulfill. There was a specific time period that he had to fall into. There was a timing that had to line up with his mission. And if his mission was launched prematurely, then we would not be where we are. And so there came a point in time when Jesus kept on saying, don't make too much fuss about it, because they're going to be the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders that are going to want to kill me sooner than I'm supposed to be killed. And then the Jewish people are going to want to crown me king before I'm supposed to be crowned. But something different happened. Bethany was different. First off, it was different because this is where Jesus actually had close friends. They weren't disciples, they were friends. They were the kind of friends where you can go and just sit back and relax. Don't you like hanging out with people where you don't have to prove yourself, show off? You can just sit back and relax. They don't want you to perform. They don't want you to fix all your problems. They just want you to enjoy yourself. And Jesus went to there in the city of Bethany to be with Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And that was a place where he could take a load off, so to speak. And that was why he went there, because they had great hospitality there. In fact, you find that Luke tells us one time about Jesus coming there, and Martha was very cumbered about with so many things, and she was frustrated with her sister because she was saying, why don't you come and help me with all these men that are here? We're supposed to be giving great hospitality to them. But Jesus said that Mary had chose the better part because she sat and she listened. And so we find in John chapter number 1 and verse 1, John 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This place was different because Jesus got word that something was not right well in advance. Verse 3 of John 11, therefore, Mary and Martha, his sisters, sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. Just come on and do what you always do. We know who you are. We know the power that you possess. We have been witnesses of how you have healed. We have been witnesses how you have changed. We have witnessed how you have made a way when nobody else could do it. We've seen your love, your grace, and your compassion. This was a slam dunk invite, because this is now your good friend who is sick. I just appreciate you taking a quick break from what you're doing. Come and touch Lazarus and then go about your business. Sign, Mary and Martha. And I'm sure they had no care in the world, because if anybody would receive a healing, certainly somebody who's close to him would receive exactly what they need. Somebody that has been serving him certainly would get what they need. The moment that their need shows up, that Jesus surely would take time to go in a special manner and help somebody that has always been there for him. And Jesus says something that he has never said before. Verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but the glory of God, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It was something he said and nobody caught it. It was something he said that it kind of went over everybody's head. Some can even read it and say, you know, he's a liar, because we know that Lazarus' sickness was unto death. but I don't want to get ahead of myself. He said, the sickness is not unto death, but then there was a comma, but for the glory of God, for the Holy Ghost right now. Some of you are going through some heavy burdens and you're not paying attention to the comma that God has presented in your life. You're not paying attention that it seems like things are going down the wrong way, but there is a comma because God is not done with the totality of your story. And though you have a huge desire to see God do an instantaneous miracle, there are some things that God is preparing to help you understand this situation is going to be different than what every other situation has been before. I want to get glory in the middle of your negative situations. And right now, I felt this so strong this week. There are so many of us right now that you're battling all kind of issues right now, presently in your life. Can somebody give me a hand and say, I'm going through a storm. I'm going through a battle. I'm going through a season of my life. I'm not able to fully explain how I even got here. And there they are thinking that surely Jesus will come at that moment. But the Lord is preparing somebody's heart and saying, I want you to see why you are where you are. Bethany is going to be different this time because you're going to understand that when it feels like the door is shut, I'm going to open a wonderful door for your life. And because he loved Mary, he loved Martha, he loved Lazarus, this is what he chooses to do. Because he loved them. Verse number 6. When he had heard thereof that he was sick, he waited 2 days in the same place that he was. He didn't move when I wanted him to move. He didn't do anything when I wanted him to do it. He didn't head towards my situation. And I know him to be a healer. I know him to do wonderful things. I know how he's able to speak life into things that seem like they're falling apart. And then when it came for my miracle, when it came for my advancement, when it came for things to turn around in my life, I found him not moving at all. Am I talking to anybody here this morning? No, I'm not going to Bethany just yet. I know it's quite a journey from where I am currently, but I'm not moving. I know our friend Lazarus is sick, but I want to stay right where I'm at just for a few more days. I wonder if Peter was thinking, when Jairus called, you went right away. And you never met Jairus. Oh, am I talking to anybody today? Have you seen God do miracles among a heathen? Have you seen in your mind, because you're a human being, and you've seen somebody blessed that you in your mind didn't feel that they deserved? Have you seen somebody go a little bit further and you thought you should have been there because of what you think you have been in your walk with God? And I can imagine Peter and the rest of them saying, why are we getting up right now and why aren't we going to Bethany? Because this is an urgent situation that our friend is dealing with. Why can't we go right now and deal with the problem? Why are we hesitating? Why are we waiting around when we could change the situation they are facing right now? There's a mountain in their life right now. There's a storm going on right now. But Jesus, like I've been saying, has been strategic, not allowing himself to get too much momentum, because he knew again that he would be outside of the timing of the will of God. Let me tell this church, God's timing is so very important and it's also impeccable. And finally, in verse number 7, he says to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. But his disciples says, Master, the Jews have sought to stone you. And you want to go there again? Hear me now. Yes, that's why I want to go now. because up to this point, I have not been ready to be released on what my calling was. But now I know what's calling me, and I know what's drawing me, and I know what's going to happen in the region of Judea, because Judea was a region of Bethany and the region of Jerusalem. And he understood the reason why I am hesitating. I am going to do something, and I'm not going to allow it to be silent, because there is a destination that I've been called to. I was born in order to die for the sins of humanity. And so if you are telling me that I need to go to Jerusalem because there are people that want to stone me, well then I am on my way, because if there are people that want to kill me, I know my mission, I know my destiny, I know my calling. That is the difference. I know exactly what is going to happen. I know exactly what they are going to do. I know exactly what my mission is. And he says, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he see the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Jesus began to understand that he was in his last hour. Jesus understood that this is the moment that all creation has been waiting for. This is the opportunity for those that have been walking in darkness are now going to be made into light. And so I'm not going to stop walking in the timing that was set before me. And that's why Bethany was different. And he says, let us go. And he said, our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I'm going that I may awake him out of sleep. Oh, hear me right now. The reason why he was sleeping and the reason why he could not do it any sooner is he understood, I have to allow Lazarus to go to a place of impossibility, because when I perform this miracle, there will be no doubt on what I will be proclaimed to be, and the religious people will want to destroy me, but that's what I want. I have a plan to save humanity. And so right now you're going through a storm, you're going through situations, but you got to understand, God wants to get glory out of your life. God wants to get glory out of the storms that you're going through. But the Lord was saying, here he is where he is asleep. We are not in places, he says, where we are helpless. We're beyond helpless. We are not in a place where we're just simply not productive anymore. We're so far beyond that. There are people in this room, you feel you are beyond being helpless. It's gotten worse than that. You feel that you're way beyond just not being a productive man or woman of God. It's gone so far beyond that. Some of you are in places where you're not walking in your calling anymore. You're so far beyond that. You're in places in your heart that you feel so lost and so alone. And you're like Lazarus. You can't even move anymore. You can't even move anymore. No more power to do anything is where Lazarus was. And Jesus says, I'm not leaving him like that. I'm not leaving him in a place where he is so far beyond rescuing. I want to tell everybody in the sound of my voice, no matter what you are going through, no matter what you are dealing with, I don't care how dried up it seems and how far lost you seem you are. I don't care how long you've been feeling like you've been buried under the weights of life. Jesus says, Bethany is going to be different. I'm going to come and I'm going to resurrect some things that have been dead and dried up. It's time for me to wake somebody out of their hopeless sleep where they feel like they can never open their eyes again. Let me tell you, Jesus is going to show up and do some impossible things. But not everybody believes it. I'm going to bring him back to his proper state, but it's hard to understand how he's going to be able to do it when it's been dead for so long. But Jesus says, whatever prevented you before to be in that sleep and not be able to get up again, I'm coming to bring you out of it. And I feel the Lord saying that to everybody in this room. You're going through a season where you feel so dead, but I am the one that wants to raise you up again. And then the disciples, they had to question. They said, well, if he sleeps, then he'll be just fine. But Jesus said, I'm not talking about natural sleep. I'm talking about physical death. I'm talking about something deeper. And some of you are going through more than just a physical fatigue. Yes, sometimes it's your physical body that feels so wore out. But don't you misunderstand. Just a lack of sleep. There's spiritual restlessness going on. Many of you here in this room, and you're uneasy and you're wore out and you're tired by the physical fatigue and the spiritual fatigue that's taking place, and you're just resting there because you have no strength to move. And Jesus says Lazarus is dead. And right now, people in this room, you're finding yourself spiritually dead, and I know what I'm talking about, and that's why we're pushing and we're pressing for us to raise our hand and move to a place of worship. I can't worship because there's something dead in my spirit. But Jesus says we got to go and say it's not just for my sake alone, but I want them to believe me more than they ever believed me before. And so sometimes you got to go through a dry season. Sometimes you got to go to a low point and say, I've been low, but the hand of God knows how to go low and bring me back up. You might be facing a time where you don't feel the presence of God. You might be going through a season where everything in your spiritual walk has dried up. Let me tell you, Jesus is still coming to Bethany. Let me tell you, Jesus says, I know you can't resurrect yourself, but I'm the resurrection and the life. I want somebody to hear what I'm saying. When you don't have the strength to move towards spiritual power, there's somebody that says, I might not come when you want me to, but when I show up, I'm always on time.
I want something to break here, Lord. He said, let us go. Let us go. But Thomas says, makes no sense. Verse 16. Thomas, what are you talking about? Thomas, the twin, says, let us go that we may die with him. There's always somebody that don't understand what God is doing. Go die with him. That's not what we're trying to do. Sometimes human beings like to go to the lowest common factor. There are strong people that are not walking in their strength because there are weak people around them. Hear me right now. Well, I want to lower myself because of the empathy I feel for them. And Thomas is saying, let's go and be like Lazarus. We're not in a season where we're going backwards. We're not in a season where we get comfortable. We'll find the lowest common state. We got to say no. If we're going anywhere, we're going to get him up higher. We're not going down. We're bringing people up. Come on, somebody. The reason why we come to worship is because sometimes when you worship, you help somebody else worship. And if you're saying, well, I can't worship because they can't worship, well, then you're both messed up. I need some people to understand, I'm going to worship because my worship going to help you worship. Jesus says, but I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye might believe. There are many people that are so frustrated with their walk with God because he's not showing up in the moment that they want him to show up. And Jesus says, I don't care how mad you are. You're mad, but Jesus is glad. Come on, somebody. Jesus is not frustrated because I'm frustrated. Jesus is not worried because I'm worried. Jesus ain't tired because I'm I'm tired. I'm glad that Jesus don't mimic my energy. And I'm glad that Jesus don't mimic your energy. I'm glad that God exists outside of my energy. And say, you can be mad at me all you want to, but when I bring a resurrecting power, you're going to see why I was glad all along. I let you go through your trial. Has anybody ever been brought out of something and you say, God, I thank you that you didn't let me fall, and then you made a way? Let me tell you, God is not done yet. There's still some more ways he wants to make. God right now might be glad in the middle of your mess because he knows what he's about to do. Why don't you give him glory like you agree that God's about to do something mighty? Come on, somebody. I might be going through hell, but I got a God that knows how to go to hell and resurrect everything. I know a God that is able to bring deliverance. Notice what he shows up. The attitude of the sisters. And I fully understand the attitudes. We all deal with the attitudes of people that have expectations that have not yet been met. Come on, you know how we act on our job. You know how we act in our household. When mama expects the dishes to be done and the trash to be taken out, and then it ain't done. Some of you understand at work, when you got expectations towards your leaders and things ain't unfolding the way they should. Am I talking to any real people? You got expectations, and when those expectations are not met, you have a level of frustration. And so here comes Jesus, and Mary's like, where you been? If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. It's all right. I'm the resurrection and the life. Go get Mary. Because Mary says, I ain't going outside. I'm mad. I ain't moving. I'm mad. And I want everybody to know I'm mad. Jesus said, go get her. It's different this time. And Mary shows up. Whatever you ask of God, he'll do it. He'll give it to you. Jesus says, your brother gonna rise again. I know. The last resurrection. She wanted to speak words of faith, but she couldn't. It was too real. How many want to speak words of faith, but your battle is just too real? And you don't want to fake it. There's a thin line right there about speaking words of faith and feeling like a phony. The devil would love for you to be quiet. The devil would rather us feel like not speaking in faith in order to justify it. Well, I don't want to be a phony. So I really don't feel it, then I really can't say it by faith. And the enemy has learned how to shut our mouth under the guise of, I don't want to be a phony because I don't feel it. Faith is not a feeling. And many of us are not getting our breakthrough because we want to say faith is when I have the feeling that everything is going to work out for my good. The devil is a liar. Faith is the substance of things that I... What are you fighting at the same time? What are you hoping for? And you're saying in your spirit, if I just physically, tangibly had it in my hand, then I would know that I can have faith in God. But God is saying, I'm trying to take you to a deeper dimension of faith in me, that even if I don't have it, I still have it because I got a hope. And if I have a hope, I'm not letting go of the possibility responsibility, and therefore before I ever get it, I say it's already mine. And God is saying, now somebody's understanding a dimension, and when you go to that level, there's some mountain moving that's going to take place amongst the people of God. Is there anybody tired of the mountains and the barriers and the weights in your way? Start speaking words of faith and say, I speak the word of God. I don't have it, but I have it. I don't see it, but it's already in my heart, because God wants to release faith inside of my mouth. Faith in my mouth. I'm the resurrection. Though he were dead, he shall live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? You shall never die. Do you believe this? What was Jesus trying to do? He was trying to begin that process of the gospel now being made so plain that I know what I'm doing. I'm allowing something to die to show you my resurrecting power. Could not this man, verse 37, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Everybody's watching. And people are watching you cry right now. People are watching your Facebook posts, seeing how broken you are. Come on, somebody. People you talk to, they're seeing the wage of the warfare that you are in. And then those on the outside saying, isn't that a believer? Why isn't God moving for them when they believe on him? And people have that stirring in their heart. When is it going to happen for me? Bethany was different, because I can see the humanity of Jesus in a strong way. Behold, he wept, how he loved him. He was emotional about how all this unfolded. Jesus cares about the pain that you're facing right now. Jesus understands the sorrow you're dealing with right now. He can have present pain even though he knows the future is a miracle coming. But Bethany was different. Something stinks, but take away the stone anyway. But it smells, God. It's messy. It's complicated. It's frustrating. Been dead for a long time. You cannot interact with things that have died. If you wanted to do something, you should have did it before. You're going to make the situation worse. Can I talk to somebody right now? Sometimes you don't want to hear words of faith when your faith is so broken, because you're afraid that if it doesn't happen, you'll feel even worse. I'm already at my lowest point. So don't try to build up my faith and then it doesn't happen. The situation stinks. And if you open this door, if you open this thing, I've already just shut off and said, it's done. There are some things right now that you think is done. It's not done. There's some things you think is over. It's not over. There's some areas that you think that it's too late for God to move. It's not too late for God to move. And right now you might feel, well, it puts us in a very vulnerable and precarious situation to allow a stone to be rolled away from a dead man of 4 days. And the stench that goes out when the stone is rolled away. But I want you to see I'm not just resurrecting a dead body. I'm reversing curses that have taken a hold of it. Jesus is saying the reason why I got to open up this thing to this messy situation is I'm not just about resurrecting. I'm cursing some things that caused it to die in the first place. And I'm showing somebody the power of my word. And when you begin to understand the power of my word, you'll hear him say, Father, I thank you for what's happened. And I wonder if we all will get to a place to say, God, I might not understand why I'm going through it. But Father, I thank you in advance that you are going to resurrect something that I thought was gone and far lost. And the Lord is saying, yeah, because when I say Lazarus, come forth, I don't care how long he's been dead. I want you to know that he has to come unwrapped and come unwound, and he will see the daylight again. Because Lazarus, I want you to understand, Bethany was different. Because this time there was a crowd watching. And this time, there was a bunch of people, including the Pharisees, and he did not hide it anymore. Now I'm coming out. I'm coming out with no shame. I'm not coming out with no hidden agenda. I want everybody to know how powerful I am. And as he began to release his power, the Pharisee says, there is now no denying that people are going now to exalt him as king. That should be the natural reaction, that when God does something great, you got to surrender yourself and say, now you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords in my life. And so this is what the transition was. The Pharisee says, not only do we have to kill Jesus, we also have to kill Lazarus. Some of you are wondering why you're going through the hardest season of your life. It might be because God is trying to get glory out of you, and the enemy would try to steal, kill, and destroy you. But if God raised you up, the testimony is sure. If God raised you up, there is no denying. And so when we get to Matthew chapter 26, what we understand is Jesus is back at Bethany, and Jesus is back at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' house. And they said, I can't keep it quiet anymore. He did the miraculous. But this is where people miss what was actually going on. She was just not excited about what happened with her brother. She understood, Jesus, I'm anointing you as a memorial, because I heard what you said. It was not just about Lazarus. Oh, I'm glad that he rose Lazarus from the dead. But because Lazarus got up, that didn't give me no saving power from my, am I hearing? Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm glad that Jesus heals. I'm glad that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But Lazarus getting up out of the grave saved nobody. I hope somebody hear what I'm saying right now. Mary began to understand. I'm glad that you rose Lazarus from the dead. But what I'm doing right now is challenging the power you had for Lazarus, and challenging that I know that the reason why you did what you did, because now it's pointing you to your purpose, and the purpose is for you to die. But I have a revelation, you ain't gonna stay dead. And so what I'm doing is I'm anointing you for the burial, because I want everybody to know I know who you are. And she had a revelation. She understood that Jesus had to go to the cross. And so when you get to a place of deep worship, it's not always about the present thing that God has done for you. It's about what you still know that he has all power to do, and that is to wash away all of your sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So when you see me praising, I thank God for my healing, but one day this body go die. Am I talking to anybody here? I thank God God, that he still heals all manners of sicknesses and diseases. And I thank God that we all been healed of something. There have been things in my body I can testify. I'm glad that Jesus has healed me, and he is a healer. But Jesus did not come just to heal. He says, I come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. And I'm thankful for anything. It is the eternal life that I'm going after. It's about that when I die someday, when you die someday, that he ain't gonna leave your soul in Sheol. But at the last trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, how do I know that? Because when he got out of that grave, he said, I'm gonna send the comforter, and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the same spirit that lives in the church today. Is there anybody glad that you have the Holy Ghost? Is there anybody glad that you got resurrected power inside of your life? Is there anybody glad about it? Let me wrap this up, because the problem with me and the problem with most of us is that we continue to look at our lives from a temporary basis. And so from that perspective, my life's all messed up. But if I get my eyes on a higher goal, and that's why we've been saying, I got to keep my eyes on Jesus, because I might be sick right now, but this sickness ain't unto death. There's a resurrection coming. I might have, come on somebody, if you got pain in your body right now, don't just focus on the pain. Focus on, you are headed to a resurrected Savior. Focus in the power of God is going to raise you up where there is no more sin. Sickness and no more death, because Bethany was different. Stand on your feet. Jesus said, I'm pointing your eyes to something higher than the temporary messes we're all facing. Somebody close your eyes right now. Come on, people mad at God, frustrated at God. And he's saying, I'm the resurrection and the life. When did I tell you to get satisfied with this earth anyways? When did I tell you that you're supposed to be living for this world anyways? Think about your future with my resurrecting power. That's going to lose somebody today of depression. Going to lose somebody today of anxiety. Lose somebody of your anger and your bitterness. You don't have to hold on to that bitterness, Martha. You don't have to hold on to that bitterness, Mary. You serve a risen Savior that says, I'm going to raise you up as well. What is the gospel here this morning? What we preach about? We say, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you put your faith in him. You repent of your sins. You understand that without him, you are nothing. And you go down in his name. And your sins are washed away through the blood of the Lamb. He cleanses you. Gives you a new life. He fills you with his spirit. Guess what it does for you? It unlocks a new destination for your life. And the things of this world not holding you down anymore like it used to. And now when you get this revelation reminded inside of you again, it'll change your day-to-day issues, because you can point your eyes to a resurrected King that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to raise you up as well. There will be a healing before it's all said and done. I'm confirming in your spirit to let go of the present hurts. Let go of the present pain. Let go of the heaviness. And understand that Jesus has the power to resurrect you. And that's where your hope lies. And that's where your strength lies. And that's where you find rest, knowing that you're going to live in his bosom forever. Somebody raise your hand right now and ask God to help you understand what's been delivered. I know he hasn't answered yet, but he's glad. I want you to fix your eyes on what's above and get a hold of that promise and get a hold of that future and say, if I have anything else, I know I'm on my way to glory. I know that I'm going to be raptured one day. And God, if you don't heal my body, if you don't change my situation, you are still the resurrection and the life and my worship. Like Mary said, oh, I'm going to break this alabaster box. What was she doing? She knew how to worship beyond the miracle. It's for his memorial. He's a savior. He's a healer, but I'm not going to worship him as a healer. My worship goes when I know he's a savior. I want somebody not to worship for your healing. I don't want you to worship for your sickness. I don't want you to worship for your financial breakthrough. I don't want you to worship for your mental anguish. I don't want you to worship for that. I want somebody to worship. I'm worshiping a savior. I'm worshiping a deliverer. I'm worshiping one that has brought me out of the grave and put me to a place where I will see him one day in eternity. That's the God I want somebody to worship. Worship the one that rescued you from a devil's hell. Worship that God. Every hand raised right now. Every eye closed. One day you are going to see him for who he is. It might be dark right now, but the glory of the Lord is going to be revealed in your life. And your worship moves into a place of knowing he is your resurrected Savior. Oh, you're going to have issues in life. But what makes you solid is knowing you're living this life to live again. You're worshiping him because you're saying, God, I gotta know that Savior. I gotta worship that Savior.
Standing here today,
I worship that Savior that died for me.
By your mercy and your grace,
I worship the one that forgives me of all my sins, cleanses me. I worship the one that brought me out of darkness into his marvelous light. I worship the God that gave himself for me. That's who I worship. That's right, church. Worship that King. Worship that God. Worship the Redeemer. He's washed you. Come on, Mary. Come on, Mary. Come on, bring your alabaster box before the one that died for you. Spend a little time honoring him. Spend a little time talking to him. He loves you. He loves you so much. Yes, he loves that worship. He loves it. He loves what you're going to do, Mary. He loves to receive from your heart's worship unto him. He loves your worship. He loves your worship. Help us, God, go beyond our hurts, our pains, our feelings, God. Help us to go beyond those areas. Help us to worship. Help us to worship. Help me to worship. Help me to worship. That's right. Help me to worship.
your glory.